What transforms a working-class kid from New Jersey, who once dreamed of becoming the first American pope, into the director of the CIA? John Brennan's journey reveals something profound about American public service. It's rarely a straight line, and the most important qualifications aren't always found in resumes. His father, an Irish immigrant who worked as a machinist, taught him that integrity wasn't negotiable. His mother showed him that hard work opened doors. These weren't abstract lessons delivered over dinner. They were lived daily in a household where young John worked odd jobs from age 10, learning that nothing worthwhile comes easy. When he got cut from his high school basketball team 3 years running, he didn't quit. He kept showing up until the coach had no choice but to give the persistent kid a spot. That same stubborn determination would later define his approach to counterterrorism, where giving up wasn't an option when American lives hung in the balance. Intelligence work isn't born in classified briefing rooms. It's cultivated through unexpected encounters and uncomfortable truths. During Brennan's sophomore year at Fordham, a course on Middle Eastern politics ignited something deeper than academic interest. It led him to spend a transformative year in Cairo in 1975, where he discovered that the world's complexities couldn't be understood from textbooks alone. Walking Egyptian streets, practicing Arabic with shopkeepers, traveling to Israel and Palestinian territories during holiday breaks, these experiences taught him that effective intelligence requires genuine cultural understanding, not just data collection. But here's where Brennan's story takes an interesting turn. When he finally joined the CIA after graduate school, his first assignment as a case officer revealed a troubling reality. A seasoned operative named Jack, reeking of alcohol, casually suggested using blackmail to keep foreign assets cooperative. "That sounds like blackmail," Brennan responded, shocked. Jack's angry retort that they needed to do what is necessary crystallized a fundamental tension. Where's the line between protecting America and betraying its values? After some embarrassing operational mistakes, like wearing a light tan suit during winter surveillance training when everyone else dressed in dark overcoats, Brennan requested transfer to the analytics side. Sometimes knowing your limitations is more valuable than pretending you don't have them. September 11, 2001 arrived like a nightmare you can't wake from. Brennan was in George Tenet's conference room when the first plane hit. Watching the second impact on television, they instantly knew, Al-Qaeda. As the Pentagon burned and Flight 93 crashed in Pennsylvania, Tenet ordered headquarters evacuated. Brennan walked empty hallways, ensuring everyone got out safely, while counterterrorism staff refused to leave their posts despite the danger. What do you do when everything changes in a single morning? The aftermath brought moral challenges that still haunt Brennan decades later. In August 2002, he read cables describing Abu Zubaydah's waterboarding, graphic accounts of repeated sessions that made him physically ill. Walking to a secluded parking lot corner, he thought, "My God, what are we doing?" He shared concerns with colleagues and director Tenet, who insisted everything was Justice Department approved. But years later, Brennan would call his failure to speak more forcefully his most egregious sin of omission, vowing never to remain silent again. It's a haunting admission. Sometimes the mistakes that matter most aren't what we do, but what we fail to say when it matters. By early 2011, the CIA had located a suspicious compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan, near the country's military academy. They believed bin Laden's personal courier lived there, possibly with bin Laden himself. But believed and knew are vastly different things in intelligence work. A red team assessment put the probability of bin Laden's presence at just 40%. Vice President Biden and Defense Secretary Gates worried about risking American lives on uncertain intelligence. CIA Director Panetta strongly advocated for the raid. President Obama made his decision with characteristic pragmatism. The odds are 50-50. Even if it's only 40%, that's 40% more than we've ever had before. On May 1, 2011, Brennan and other officials gathered in the Situation Room, watching the operation unfold through communications links. When word came at 3:50 p.m. that Geronimo was dead, there was no celebration, just profound relief. The most harrowing part was waiting for forces to return safely through Pakistani airspace, knowing that discovery could trigger an international crisis. When Brennan left the White House at 1 a.m., crowds outside were chanting USA and CIA, bringing tears to his eyes. After a decade of hunting, America had finally eliminated the 9/11 mastermind, but the war on terror was far from over. By early 2016, U.S. intelligence detected foreign services hacking presidential campaign networks. When DCLeaks.com and Guccifer 2.0, Russian intelligence fronts, released thousands of stolen Democratic emails in June, the scale became unprecedented. Deliberate political sabotage designed to damage Hillary Clinton and boost Donald Trump. On August 4, Brennan confronted FSB Director Bortnikoff, warning that continued interference would damage relations for years. Bortnikoff denied everything. When Brennan personally briefed Congressional Gang of Eight leaders, Mitch McConnell's response was stunning. He suggested the CIA was fabricating claims to prevent Trump's election. Brennan was gobsmacked. How do you protect democracy when political leaders refuse to acknowledge inconvenient threats? After Trump's victory, intelligence agencies assessed with high confidence that Putin had ordered an influence campaign to undermine American democracy and help Trump win. The day after inauguration, Brennan watched Trump visit CIA headquarters. Initially pleased, he became physically nauseated as Trump launched into political talk about his election victory and inaugural crowd size against the backdrop of the memorial wall honoring fallen officers. Brennan released a statement calling Trump's despicable display of self-aggrandizement deeply saddening and angering. After leaving government, Brennan became one of Trump's most vocal critics. When Trump fired FBI Deputy Director Andy McCabe just before retirement, Brennan tweeted that Trump would take your rightful place as a disgraced demagogue in the dustbin of history. After Trump's Helsinki press conference, siding with Putin over U.S. intelligence, Brennan called his behavior nothing short of treasonous. Trump retaliated by revoking his security clearances through an unprecedented presidential directive. Why risk reputation and endure threats? Because some things matter more than personal comfort. Brennan watched the party of Lincoln become completely debased, unwilling to confront shameful behavior. The Mueller report later corroborated intelligence findings about Russian interference, vindicating warnings many had dismissed as partisan attacks. In a democracy, speaking truth to power isn't just a right, it's a responsibility. Brennan's journey from blue-collar New Jersey to the CIA's highest office taught him that integrity isn't situational. The values his immigrant father instilled, honesty, hard work, persistence, don't evaporate when political winds shift. Whether briefing presidents or calling them out, the obligation remains. Tell the truth, even when unwelcome, especially when unwelcome. Brennan concluded his memoir with one word capturing his entire career: undaunted. In an era when too many choose silence over principle, that stubborn refusal to back down might be the most important lesson of all.